Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, check this out, 30 days to go until Dopey 2017. I know that gets some people excited, but mostly it probably terrifies some of the runners out there, but regardless, this is a great way to count down to your next Disney vacation. Even if you're not running 48.6 magical miles, it gets you excited every time you get a text, a phone call, or update social media. You're going to have a great picture right there. If you click into the app, you can customize the pictures. You can use the default pictures that are included. You can even title your vacation something zany like Dopey 2017. We're doing it again. That's what I did. You can even get an audio alert every day at a certain time. I get mine at 2:05 p.m. after my kids leave. It lets me know I'm one day closer to my favorite place. Check it out today. Great apps for the Disney fan. Turn your Apple device into a Disney device. Check them out today over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1100 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving holiday, ate lots of turkey, spent lots of quality time with friends and family, and you're now kind of back in the routine. We're in that stretch that we call survival mode in education. We're between Thanksgiving and Christmas breaks, and things are already crazy. We've only been back in school 2.5 days, but we're going to make it till that Christmas break, counting down to our great New Year's Eve trip, and of course, the Dopey Challenge. So I want to think about that right now, but you know, I'm thinking about getting to stay at the boardwalk for the first time. It's going to be fancy, so I'm really excited about that. So we are here to answer your listener questions. So joining me today from down in Atlanta, Georgia, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
You know what I'm thinking about, Mike? Guess what I'm thinking about.
Six Flags. Just guess. Over Georgia.
No. Oh, I did do that. No, I'm thinking about how awesome Florence is and is letting me stay with her at the Grand Floridian again for Marathon Weekend.
Yes, I saw that. I was like, I can't believe you, Florence. You what? I'm staying at the boardwalk. And of course, Ricky stays at the Grand Floridian. What's up?
Again, thank you, Florence. I love you. You're awesome. So that's all.
Florence, we're going to have a talk over Marathon Weekend.
So anyway, I'm very excited to get to go back down and stay at the Grand Floridian because that was awesome. So yay!
It's going to be a fun weekend. 30 days as we said in the ad read at the top.
30 days for that. And then, you know, I'll be there, I'm assuming, for New Year's as well. So that'll be awesome too. And I'll be there for Christmas. And it's just going to be one heck of a party week. Well, 3 weeks, I guess I should say. So it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a good time. All right. Well, you know what? It's time to answer some listener questions. Let's get to these. Starting off with Laura. She says, hey, Mike and the gang, thanks for all your hard work on the podcast. It's so helpful for first timers like myself. We love first timers.
Yay!
I am currently in the early stages of planning our first trip in the late fall of 2017. We are a family of four with kids who will be 2.5 years and just under 5 years at the time of our trip. Because our kids aren't school age yet, we have a lot more flexibility in scheduling for this trip. We were initially planning on going the first full week of December, the 2nd to the 9th, but I'm now considering the week before Thanksgiving, November 11th through the 18th, because December always gets so crazy with other family and friend obligations at home. Now I'm having a tough time deciding when would be best. Going at a time with low crowds is an absolute must. I initially thought the Christmas stuff offered the first week in December would just be an added bonus since all of Disney is a new experience to us. But now I'm hearing about everything going on right now and I'm getting excited about a full-blown Christmas-themed Disney trip. Can you talk me through the differences between extra activities and decorations, likelihood of attractions being closed, weather, and the crowds between those 2 weeks? Also, if Food and Wine ends at a similar time next year, it looks like the last weekend of Food and Wine would be the first part of the week we are there if we move the trip to the week before Thanksgiving. Would that be a reason to consider the November week, or would the crowds be insane and Epcot be avoided at all costs? Thanks again for all the help. I was completely overwhelmed when I started looking at Disney a couple months ago, but your podcast has helped me navigate the crazy Disney universe and, more importantly, got me extremely excited for this trip. Just wish it was sooner. And that's from Laura. All right, well, Laura, hey, there's nothing like the excitement of a first trip, and I'm glad you wrote in. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope it does always get you excited because that's our goal. So, Ricky, initially, what are you thinking? Because I have definite thoughts on this, but that week before Thanksgiving or the first week of December, remember, the first timers, two young kids, too.
True. Okay, so this is tough because you are getting a few different things with each of those time periods. Like she said, the 11th you said is when they would get there. So they have announced that Food and Wine Festival this year is going until the 13th. So of November, the dates have come out for the Epcot 2017 Food and Wine Festival. And just for those who don't know, they are August 31st, which is the earliest the festival has ever started, until November 13th, 2017. So they would definitely get to experience that. You know, it will be busy that weekend at Epcot. I will say that because it's the last weekend. I think if it was me, I think that I would actually pick the December weekend or the December week because everything will be decorated for Christmas for sure. I mean, I know that like the resorts and stuff like that will be decorated. Now you'll get the parks mostly decorated for Christmas when they'll be there the first week, the week of before Thanksgiving. But I think that the crowds are going to be just a touch lower that second week that she talked about. Maybe not a lot lower, but a little bit lower. So if crowds are where she's really concerned about, then I would pick that second week. But that's just me.
You know what? I'm totally in on the second week. So I would go December 2nd through the 9th. And here's a couple reasons why. Okay, so it's your first trip. I think that Food and Wine is best experienced by somebody who has been to Walt Disney World at least once before. Because I don't think you need to see Epcot in the Food and Wine Festival mode. I think you'll be totally happy with the Epcot experience minus the extra crowds that Food and Wine brings in.
And I will say, if it's anything like this year, not to interrupt, and I'm sorry, but there are Food and Wine booths this year they're called holiday booths or whatever the name that they're going by. So they have different food options from different countries around the world that are special for the holidays this year. So I'm assuming that will continue next year as well. So they will still get a sort of mini Food and Wine Festival around the holiday season next year.
And that's a great point because they are adding little extra things like that kind of all over the place. But, you know, her kids are 5 and 2.5. And so what I would say is, you know, it'd be iffy even going to the Food and Wine Festival with kids that age because they're just antsy. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing in it in a Food and Wine Festival for two kids 5 and under. You know, it's just that's just kind of a no-go. So I wouldn't think of that as something you need to worry about missing your first trip. That's something I think you can look forward to when you come back because you will have seen Epcot. Now you get to see it a little bit, you know, spiced up if you want to come back. Also, the Christmas decorations, those are not to be to be missed if you get the opportunity. I mean, there's just so many cool things that, and I know the Christmas party would be, you know, I'm trying to think, like, because the Christmas party would be going on December 2nd through the 9th, but
It will likely be going on the week that they're there, the week before Thanksgiving, too, though.
Yeah, so towards the end of that week, it probably would definitely be happening. But what I would say is, again, I don't know if that's necessary for a first-time trip because everything's new. The extra expense may not be justified this time, maybe the next time, but you'll still get to see, you know, Main Street as it's going to look on Christmas morning on your TV back home to kind of reminisce about, oh, man, we were just there a few weeks ago. It's one of those things that can really develop into a family tradition because we do that. We watch it every Christmas morning and we say, oh, you know, I remember sitting there, you know, right there where, you know, whoever it is, Neil Patrick Harris is standing right now. You know, we're having hot cocoa, you know, right by the bakery or something. You know, it's one of those things that really kind of brings it home. And you know, she was asking like crowds. I would say the crowds are going to be close, you know, for those 2 weeks. When you say, Ricky, I wouldn't think crowds would be a big difference.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to be a huge difference in crowds between those 2 weekends.
And she's asking about the weather. Weather would be just slightly cooler in December. But you know what? When the holiday decorations are up in this time of year still, it gets warm in the afternoons when the sun's out, you know, but then it's kind of nice, especially if you're from somewhere where, you know, it's warmer, that in the evening when it gets, you know, not cold, but it gets chilly enough to throw on a jacket or maybe like a like a Santa hat with Mickey ears, like somebody might have on with their podcasting right now. You know, stuff like that to get you in the spirit.
You know, only you, Mike.
Well, you know, because
only you have that on.
Well, now we got video. So, but you know, it's one of those things that, you know, Disney sells like ugly Christmas sweater T-shirts. You know, and I mean, where else are you gonna wear something like that? It's Walt Disney World. So, you know, I just think that for all of her concerns, I think she's just going to be blown away going the first week of December. Low crowds, great weather, Christmas decorations, you know, but either is fine. And she's exactly right. When you have kids that are preschool, take advantage of that because you're not going to have that happening for many more years, probably even to the next year when the kid starts kindergarten. So are we both in on December 2nd through the 9th?
I think we're both in on December 2nd through the 9th. Yeah.
All right. So you know she'll go that week of Thanksgiving now.
Right. Of course. Because that's how that works. Yes.
No, it'll be fine. Have a great time and let us know how it goes. We'll talk about it on the podcast. I love hearing from first timers. All right. Next, we have Caitlin up. Hey, Mike and Ricky. How did Caitlin know Pam was sick tonight?
I don't know.
That's so weird. Anyway, I've been listening to the show for over a year now in preparation for my trip, my roommate and I have coming up in February. Thank you for providing such great information and a way to enjoy Walt Disney World, even in the coming Chicago winter. Is Chicago cold this year? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say something really mean because the Cubs won the World Series. We're a kind podcast. I won't even say those three words.
But I think that she can infer what happened. Yeah,
I think something froze over in Chicago and the Cubs won the World Series. But anyway, I know I speak for a lot of people when I say your podcast brings a spark of Disney magic into my life. Here is my question. My roommate and I have a trip booked for February 4th through the 11th. We'll be staying at Port Orleans Riverside and have purchased single park tickets for each day as part of our package. Is there a way to upgrade those tickets to annual passes without messing up the package we have already booked? We haven't even got there yet and already planning to go back. Thanks in advance for your advice. All the best, Caitlin. All right, Ricky, tell her about taking those Magic Your Way tickets and turning them into that magical thing called an annual pass.
Oh, it's so nice and easy. All you do is you go up to a ticket window and you say, I would like to turn this into an annual pass. And they will get that taken care of for you. It's super, super easy. You have to do it before your ticket, like you use the last day of your ticket, but because otherwise they're not going to be able to give you an annual pass with the ticket that you've had. So make sure you do it before the last day of the ticket and you're good to go.
Yes.
Easy peasy.
You just pay the difference between what you paid as part of your package for the tickets and the current annual pass cost. And what happens is your annual pass expiration date becomes the first day you use the Magic Your Way ticket. So,
correct.
I know some people try to think they're going to, you know, scam the system and like upgrade on the second to last day of their package and think,
and
oh, I got like seven
that,
free
yeah,
days.
Yeah.
You
nope.
Know? Dang. I know. I've thought of that. And I'm like, dang, it doesn't work. So just so you know, but it's super simple. It doesn't mess with anything on your package either. Disney doesn't care once you get there and go into the park one time. It's not going to take I've had people ask, you know, is it going to take away my free dining if I'm on free dining as part of a package? No, you're fine. You know, Disney, you got to always remember Disney wants more money. Then they want you to come back. So no problem at all. All right. Next question is from Allison. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I see Allison didn't get the memo that Pam was sick.
No,
apparently.
No.
Do any of you have any experience with eating a deluxe burger on the dining plan? Oh, see, I was there till the dining plan.
I was going to say, I don't have the dining plan part.
See, I know it is a great value for a quick service credit, but do you know if you can order a shake as a beverage on the credit? I know milkshakes at other locations generally count as a beverage, but didn't know if Deluxe Burger allowed this with their $7 gelato shakes. Thanks. And Allison is in Minnesota, the land of milkshakes, apparently. It's cold up there all the time. So Deluxe Burger, I haven't looked at the Disney Springs restaurants for 2017. Is Deluxe Burger on the dining plan? I guess it is.
I would assume that it probably would be because of the fact that it's a Disney-owned restaurant. So almost all Disney-owned restaurants are on the Disney dining plan. And I'm going to do some research here to see if we have it on the mouse for less of if Deluxe Burger, I would assume that the shake would be included. Every beverage is like, if you go to Whispering Canyon, the shake is included there. And that is a good deal because that is an all you can eat shake or drink, I guess you should say shake. So I would assume that it would be the same for Deluxe Burger as well.
You know what I remember though? Like the last month on the dining plan, I remember eating at 50's Primetime. And I want to say the shake counted as my dessert. Like I got a fountain soda, but I got a shake too. And well, shake
if you,
was my
yeah,
dessert
if you do it that way.
On the table
yeah.
service. Yeah.
Yeah. If you do it that way. So yeah, I would think, but there's no dessert next year for counter service meals. So, it's just snacks. So I would assume that it, because it's a beverage, it would count as a beverage.
All right. Well, hey, let us know on Facebook, facebook.com/BeArGuestPodcast, and fill us in, or Twitter at BeArGuestMike.
Yeah, I think there'll be some changes next year because they are changing the dining plan up a little bit. But I would assume that it would count as a beverage next year.
All right. Good question. All right. Next is Emily. She's up. Says, hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I know you've talked about Amazon Pantry before on the show, and I was wondering how you went about ordering it. Did you order it once you were on Disney property, once you knew your room number, or did you do it before you left so it would arrive when you arrived and just had your resort listed? It is such a great idea, and I want to try it for our next trip. Love the podcast. Thanks for the help, Emily. All right, so I've done this a couple times. Now, the thing about Pam totally sold me on this Amazon Prime thing, which, oh my gosh, I got stuff flying here. Dude. It's like the North Pole. I love it, man. It's so easy
I'm
to
sure
order
it is, oh. Especially around the holidays. You're just like, bye.
No, I don't mind Christmas shopping this year. I just do it right there on my phone. But anyway, so one of the great things is there's kind of two levels to ordering stuff to your resort at using Amazon. Now, there's Amazon Pantry. I'm going to see if I get this right. And Amazon Prime Now, I think, is one of the other. There's two ways. One of them is about a three-day process. Like you order it about 3 to 4 days before you wanted to get there. And a big box shows up with stuff at your resort. And what you do is when you order it, you got to go online and find the address of your resort. So just type in Disney's Coronado Springs mailing address, you know, into Google. It'll give you the resort address. And then you put that in as your, you know, ship to and put care of, you know, Mike Rahman, guest at Coronado Springs, you know, and that way they know. And then I always call the resort and just let them know tell them to put it on the internal memo that I'm expecting a package. I don't know if they do that or not, but you take faith that they do. So that one comes in about 3 to 4 days, no problem. Now there's this Prime Now, I believe is what it's called, where it gets delivered yeah. within an hour. Now it only works in certain areas, but Orlando's one of them. This what I do, the hack that I do for this one is I go on to the app or I go on at home before we leave home onto the computer and put everything in my cart. So I have I don't have to shop when I'm there. So what I do is I check everything that we want. I call Pam in, call Paige and Mallory, and everybody gets their chips and whatever drinks they want in the room and so forth, snacks. And I just put it all in the cart. And then once we arrive, then I hit the button, boom, and it comes within an hour. And that one will get delivered. Like Coronado Springs has a business center. Now you got to watch this because it got delivered to the business center and I got charged like $10 to pick it up because it was like a package delivery or something. I didn't know about that. But I figured, it was still saving me way more money than, buying, $3.50 bottles of water. I got like a case of water for like $7. So, those are two things to look at. You can just go to Amazon.com and check it out, but they are both super handy. I mean, the problem was we ordered a bunch of food on Amazon and that was the time we were staying at Coronado Business Class. So we had breakfast in the morning because we had access to the concierge lounge. So we really, that's the one time we didn't need snacks. So we had so much left over. You can ask the Scots to kind of help us move stuff. But it's something that if you're going, especially if you're a Prime member, because you have to be a Prime member, but it's one of those huge advantages because the thing is you get back to the room 10 o'clock at night, 10:30 in the summer, you're tired. You don't feel like walking down to the food court. You can have a fridge stocked with your favorite, you could even get Pepsi, and you can't get Pepsi at Disney. My wife's a Pepsi fan. So you can have Pepsi, you can have Cheez-Its, you can have Cheese Whiz, cereals in the morning, breakfast bars, stuff like that. And over a week, it saves you money because the prices are not that bad on Amazon. So, Ricky, is this something you would think about doing? I mean, I know you drive sometimes, so you can bring stuff, but I think it's one of those things, change with the times. And this is it's not only handy, but it saves you money.
No, absolutely. I think that if, we ever did a trip like that again where we had, the opportunity to stay for a long period of time and, weren't driving down, we're flying, that kind of thing. Absolutely. We would definitely take advantage of either Prime Now or Pantry or whatever. Because I remember, my first trips, packing up the suitcase with, granola bars and bottles of water and Rice Krispie treats and donuts, Entenmann's donuts, because Entenmann's donuts are what you have to bring.
We used to take those all the time. Yeah, back in the day, Pop Century and Entenmann's donuts. Oh, those were the days.
I don't eat eat them anywhere else, but those are so good. Let me just tell you. So, I mean, you know, I'd pack up the suitcase. I'd get down there. Everything would be smashed, you know. So, but we definitely did that. But I can see, you know, when we have a kid or something like that, utilizing this, and it would be a huge, huge, huge time saver and money saver as well.
And Alan in our chat saying that if you put stuff on your wish list, like it'll stay there for like, you know, upcoming trips.
Forever.
So you can just kind of go back and back and back and say, you know what? Cheez-Its go with the Disney vacation. I just booked a Disney vacation. Prime, stand by. I'm going to need some Cheez-Its over at Caribbean Beach. So that's a good idea.
Yep.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, like 1 hour delivery, that just boggles my mind. You know, like how does that logistically happen? You know, you can barely get a pizza that fast in town, so.
Oh my gosh, I wish that, you know, I could get 1 hour delivery here for a lot of things, but unfortunately I can't yet.
Did you get any of those Prime buttons yet? Like we got a toilet paper button. You just push a button and bam, 2 days later, like these 24 rolls of the biggest like rolls of toilet paper show up at the house. Mallory hit it the other day. Now we have so much toilet paper here.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. No, I have not done that yet.
Yeah, they have them for everything. They're crazy. All right, next.
At least you got toilet paper. You're good.
Oh,
go.
We're good, man. We actually should go out and roll somebody's house. You know, we got to get rid of some of this. That's a good idea. We'll see. All right, next, we're heading to Rome, Georgia. Ashley has a question. Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My family is going to visit friends that live in Tampa, Florida for the New Year's Eve weekend. After much discussion, we've decided to spend New Year's Eve at Port Orleans Riverside in the Alligator Bayou Rooms. This is our first time staying at this resort, as well as our first New Year's Eve at Walt Disney World. I'm hoping to get a late reservation at one of the table service restaurants at Grand Floridian or the Polynesian so we can catch the Magic Kingdom fireworks from the beach. If I'm not able to get a reservation at a time that is convenient for us, as we don't want to spend several hours there, can you just go to the resort and visit, or do we have to have a reservation in order to be pass the guard post on New Year's Eve? Also, if we can't go to the Magic Kingdom resorts for the fireworks, what activities might be planned at Port Orleans Riverside? Do they have a New Year's Eve party or countdown? There is so much to do there on a normal basis. We plan on having a great time no matter what. Any tips will be grateful. Many thanks, Ashley. All right, let me just tell you this. Getting by that guard at the Polynesian on New Year's Eve would take a B-2 bomber. You know, like Navy SEAL, night vision camo where you, I mean, it is, unless you have a reservation, you are, cause we didn't even get past them this summer and we were trying to go to Captain Cook's and it was just a regular old day. So yeah, not going to happen most likely on New Year's Eve. Cause everybody's trying, that poor guy's probably turning cars around left and right on New Year's Eve. I could imagine.
Absolutely.
You know what? He should have a recorder on to hear all the stories. That'd be great. You know, like, okay, what lie are you going to tell
me? What's your story? Yeah, exactly. What lie are you going with? Yes.
That'd totally be awesome. Boy, I know you're going to lie to me. Just make it good. Come on now. What's your story? Because you're not going to Captain Cook's. Anyway, so I would say no.
So you're not going here.
So give them some advice. Sounds like they don't want to go to a park, but they want to take advantage of either Riverside or something on property for New Year's Eve. What would you say, Ricky?
Well, I mean, you know, if they are at Riverside, you know, I know that it may not be optimal, but you can, you know, take the bus you'd have to take a boat to the Magic Kingdom and then the bus to Magic Kingdom and then a boat to the Poly. And that way, if you got your reservation then, or you'd be okay too. So, or you want to just eat at Captain Cook's or whatever, you'd be safe there. But, that would be the best way that I would consider doing it. Cause you ain't getting a car in there. I'm telling you that right now. So
there's no way, not a chance,
but, you know, I think I as someone who is planning this idea as well of going to the Magic, or not the Magic Kingdom, but Epcot on New Year's Eve, and it's going to be nuts, and I know it. You know, I'm definitely planning on packing some snacks, just as we were talking about, because I know I ain't going to get to eat nowhere.
That's it. Bring the Enemans donuts. We'll share a dozen while we're waiting for the fireworks.
Okay, that sounds like a plan. I'll pack Entenmann's donuts. We'll be good. But I think that you're going to have, I really do think that you're going to have fun no matter where you go. I think it's going to be a good time. And you know, the best part about New Year's Eve is that Disney does roll out some interesting options as well, things that you don't normally think about. Some of them are obscenely expensive, like the California Grill has a dinner experience where you get to meet Baby New Year, which scares me, by the way.
No way.
I don't know what Baby New Year is going to look like.
It's a 35-year-old guy in a diaper. What?
That's exactly what I'm picturing. I don't think I want to ever meet Baby New Year. So if anybody is going to the California Grill for New Year's Eve and meets Baby New Year, please send me a picture because I really want to see what this looks like. I mean, I don't, but I do. So, but that's like $600 as well for that meal. Man. So each. So, but then they have options at other places too. Like I think the Atlantic Dance Hall has, you know, some party options. And check the Mouse for Less for New Year's Eve activities. I have a whole list of stuff that's going on at the parks and different meals that goes on and stuff like that there. So that's my best suggestion, is to check that out. I'm updating it constantly as I get information, as Disney releases information. So, but I think that, you know, that's the best thing you can do. You're there, have fun. You're going to have fun no matter what you're doing. And the only other thing that I would caution you about is, in the past, sometimes, I haven't been there on New Year's Eve. I've only seen it through, you know, secondhand stories, sometimes on Twitter, that kind of thing. Sometimes they do check to make sure you're staying at the resort. I haven't heard about them doing that for a while, but that's something to consider when you're trying to see the fireworks at the Polynesian. So again, they may do it, they may not. You won't know until that night, because they won't say one way or another, hey, we're checking to make sure that you're staying here or whatever. So just know that it's a slight possibility, because I've seen it go both ways.
All right, good advice. And Joanne is in our Facebook chat again. You can join us usually on Monday evenings around 6:30 Eastern. We are live on Facebook as we record these shows. We appreciate it when you drop in and add your commentary to the chat. You can help us out. But Joanne has checked and she says, currently no ADRs available for the Polynesian or anywhere around the monorail loop for New Year's Eve. They're all taken. And but she does suggest, you know, just park somewhere else. You know, you can park, you know, at the Magic Kingdom parking lot, or you can take a bus, like Ricky said, to the Magic Kingdom and take a boat or a monorail over to the Polynesian. And you know what? The worst thing they can say is, you know what, right now it's just for resort guests, and then just move on. You know, like, there's 100 other options. And, like, I think that one you said with Atlantic Dance Hall, you know, the boardwalk, the thing is the boardwalk's going to be hopping on New Year's Eve. That'd be a fun place to be. And they shoot off so many fireworks for New Year's Eve at Epcot. I mean, I'm sure you can almost feel it on the boardwalk as well. It's incredibly loud at Epcot for New Year's Eve. So,
and then you'll have fireworks too that you can see from Disney's Hollywood Studios. Yep. So you get both, going at the same time. That's pretty awesome.
That is. All right, let's get to the next question. Barbara has it. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I've been listening for several years, and even did a Monday trip report with Mike last year. My daughter, who turns 21 on November 27th. Whoa, that's a great day.
Whoa.
I know, whoa. I turned 21 on the 27th. Yeah, that's crazy.
A few years ago.
Anyway, says also my niece, who is 20, and myself are doing Disney January 7th. My niece has not been since she was 5, and she is so excited. Will I be able to link a separate credit card to her Magic Band? Or, because we're all in the same room, will it be linked to mine? Thank you so much. I'll be happy to report back on our trip if you would like. Barbara. You know what? Here's what I'm trying to do still with my family. I'm trying to get the rest of the family away from my credit card on my Magic Band so that they're not all on mine. It's so funny how easy it is to spend money when it's all on my card the whole time down there. Yeah, souvenirs for everybody. It's funny. Now, Ricky, what can you do if you have, you don't want to be Daddy Warbucks with the Magic Band there?
Yeah, you absolutely can do that. I know this because when we did stay with Florence at the Grand Floridian, Florence didn't really want to pay for all my stuff, and I can't blame her. So, but
why not? She's doing everything else for you. I mean, come on.
But I had a Magic Band. So what we did is when we checked in, we just went down to the front desk and we said, hey, I want to put my credit card on file for my Magic Band for my charges. And I did, and it worked perfectly like a charm. So if you ever have any question about it, head down to the front desk and they will be able to help you.
All right. Full of good news today. We've got a lot of positive answers. I like it. Except for getting into Polynesian.
And we actually can answer these questions.
All right, next is Simon, our good friend over in Scotland. Hi, Mike. Well, you got no emails for months and then two within a few days. Firstly, I loved watching your live broadcast from Walt Disney World on the 14th of November. It started just as I had said goodnight to my daughters, and I took my phone back into their bedrooms to show them what was happening live in the Magic Kingdom. The smiles on their faces would have melted your heart. Great job. Now, on to my question. We have booked a 5-night stay at the Yacht Club next August and managed to get free dining as part of our package. I had done some planning earlier this year, but I wanted to rethink where to go on each of the 5 days and then where we would eat. The details of the 2017 dining plan now have been released, and there seem to be far fewer restaurants that take the Disney dining plan credits than was the case previously. I mean, loads of restaurants are now out of scope. I haven't heard or read any commentary on this from within the Disney community, which makes me think that I'm missing something. What's going on? If you can shed any light on this, I'd be greatly appreciative. As ever, thanks for your amazing work. You still have the best podcast in town. Your friend in Scotland, Simon. Well, Simon, thanks so much for that. I love being able to broadcast live from Walt Disney World. It's a pleasure, and I love hearing from everybody when I'm down there. It makes this incredible for me, and thanks for always tuning into the podcast over in Scotland. Just blows me away. So, Ricky, do you want to walk Simon through and kind of calm him down? Because I know how it is. What's happening, I think, is that Disney kind of releases more restaurants under the dining plan as we get closer to that year, correct?
That is absolutely correct. So here's the deal. You know how I said earlier that Deluxe Burger is a Disney-owned restaurant? There are some restaurants that are on Disney property. Obviously, a majority of them are at Disney Springs, but there's also quite a few at Epcot and other places as well that are not Disney-owned. The big one of these is anything in the Mexico Pavilion is actually owned by another company. So even though they look like they're, Epcot Mexican at Mexico restaurants, they're actually not owned by Disney at all. So what happens is Disney releases all of their restaurants because they know for sure that their restaurants are going to be on the dining plan. Then, as time goes on, as we get closer and closer to the beginning of 2017 or whatever year the dining plan is that you're looking at, more and more restaurants get added to that list as contracts get signed, that kind of thing. Most restaurants overall will accept the Disney dining plan. It's very rare that they don't. And because why would, it would be stupid for them not to, let's put it that way. So, they absolutely, most of them will end up offering the dining plan. I would say check back at the beginning of 2017. That's when you're going to find out which restaurants really are going to be taking part in the Disney dining plan. I would say if they were on the list this year, they're going to be on the list next year. So don't fret, don't worry. It's very rare that a restaurant is not on the list.
I totally agree, Simon. I think you're going to be fine. A lot of people do this. I've been there myself thinking, oh, man, the 1 year I got the dining plan, 50% of the restaurants aren't participating. It turns out okay in the end. It's a matter of getting a contract signed, I think, at this point.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get to the last question of the day. It's from James December, who I believe is in our Facebook chat right now. And he says, we are going to the Magic Kingdom on New Year's Eve. I have heard that leaving the parks after the fireworks is almost impossible. Well, eventually you do have to leave after the fireworks, James. I'm sorry. I mean, it might be 3 a.m., but you do have to leave. My question is, I have a breakfast ADR at the Wave for 9:30 a.m. Will I make it? No, he didn't say that. That'd be better though. He says, we are planning on driving to the Contemporary Resort. Can we leave our car there and walk to the Magic Kingdom and back after the fireworks, or will they tow my car? Thanks for all your help, James. He's in Evansville, Indiana. So I think actually what's happening is he's starting the day at the Wave at 9:30 a.m. for breakfast. Wants to leave his car there all day for New Year's Eve. I think it's another one where they're going to give you a boot or something. I don't know if they'd tow you. They might tow you on New Year's Eve. What do you think?
So,
have you ever seen a car get towed at the Disney?
I haven't. Let's put it this way. What I think is going to happen is you're going to be okay. What Disney is going to tell you is you have a 3-hour window and you have to move your car to the TTC. I can't for certain say that your car is going to be okay, because
will you pay the towing bill?
And I don't want to get in trouble if your car gets towed. Have I left my car when I've dined at Contemporary at the Wave? Yeah, I have, but it hasn't been New Year's Eve either. So, if you're really, 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 really worried about it, I would move my car. But if you want to take a chance, I think you'll be okay. Then you can leave it, but I would probably move it if I were you.
Well, see, this is just a look into my brain is that, you guys are having breakfast there at 9:30 in the morning. By about lunchtime, I'd be fixated on, is my car still there? Is my Jeep in downtown Orlando and, some lot that's got two junkyard dogs chewing on my back tire? I mean, it totally ruined my day. But I've never seen a car get towed, even
I've
if it's Polynesian.
I've never seen a car get towed, but that doesn't mean that they wouldn't do it either. They do say you get 3 hours. So, I mean, I don't know.
That. All right, unless that goes, James, you're going to roll the dice. You're going to be good. I would
right,
find
exactly.
Out. All right, well, today's show, again, send those questions in. We love them. Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We love having these conversations, so please keep sending those in. And don't forget, today's show brought to you by our great friends over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps, free iPhone apps, in fact, like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. So, Ricky, we're going to talk a lot about the news happening over the past couple of weeks on Friday, but what could you read about right now in Theme Park News, Disney Edition?
Oh my goodness. Let's see. What would be one of the smaller pieces that we won't be talking about? Oh, I got one. Okay. So beginning November 30th, which would be today, when this podcast comes out, ABC Commissary at Disney's Hollywood Studios is offering a fast casual dining experience for dinner. So how it's going to work is it's basically kind of like Be Our Guest restaurant at lunch. You're going to go, you're going to place your order, and then they're going to give you a pager. And you're going to find a seat, and then they are going to bring your food to you at your table. Lunch will still be quick service, counter service option, and the fast casual dining service begins at 3:30 p.m. approximately each day. So looks like this is a very interesting test, or maybe it's permanent. I'm not sure, but it's an interesting experience for those who would like to dine at ABC Commissary. I am curious as to what the food will look like, because they say they're going to emphasize on made-to-order, healthful, and specialty items. And we all know that the food there before is just okay for, you know, counter service options. I mean, I don't particularly find a whole lot there to be exciting, but I'm sure that others do. And so I'm going to be curious to see kind of what the menu looks like when they do this made-to-order option, fast casual dining experience at ABC Commissary.
You know what they should do, though? They should have the cast members dressed up like the crew from The Love Boat to stay that'd be awesome. Like Gopher brings you your lunch, or, you know, what's his name? The bartender, Isaac.
You're asking the
or Captain
wrong person.
Steven.
I'm the youngin.
I'm just telling listeners, tell me that wouldn't make this experience awesome. You know, Julie brings you.
It's ABC Commissary. Why on earth would they have the Love Boat people there?
That's where they play the Love Boat theme. They play all that old, you know, ABC music there. You know,
yeah, that's true.
Maybe they could have like Three's Company. You know, like Jack and Janet and Chrissy. It all come out and, you know, give you like, I don't know. I'm just telling you, Disney, another great idea.
I could see them, you know, doing someone like Mitch and Cam, or, you know, Regina from Once Upon a Time, or, you know, I don't know, somebody newer.
No. You got to go classic.
Oh, okay. Got to go classic. Okay.
Anyway, you can get great stuff like this. I promise you, you won't get the Love Boat idea.
I don't know if this is good, but.
Anyway, sorry. But yeah, check it out today. It's Theme Park News Disney Edition, a free iOS app. Turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. Drop by virtualmickey.com. Check out Magical Mouse Radio, great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right there at magicalmouseradio.com. And give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BeOurGuestMike. And you may be the 5,000th like for our Facebook page if you drop by today, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. We're so, so close. Who's it going to be, Ricky? We're like down to like 10 people left. Almost
That's
there.
Awesome.
Almost there. Lots of fun every day on Facebook. So we're going to get out of here, and we'll be back again on Friday talking about all the Disney news. This is going to be Ricky's show, and I'm just going to be kind of sitting back and, you know, reacting, because she knows what's happening with everything happening at our favorite places, man, so much. Rivers of Light even came back for a second, so who knows?
That's it. Who knows?
I'm not the only person in the world who's seen it, but I'm kind of sad, but yeah, almost. So anyway, we're going to be back again on Friday. Thanks again for downloading the show. Hope you're having a great Wednesday. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome midweek. Get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.